A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsack.
And I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and I am excited to be doing one of our News and Cues episodes. We got some good news and some good cues, which are questions.
And a question that made me count, which is just, you know, that's tough.
Well, maybe the cue stands for quiz at this point.
At this point, it just might. But great stuff coming your way here. A quieter news week, which we keep joking about. So we'll see what happens after the show. We're going to get to all of that in a second. But before we do, let's remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. As always, a little bit later, we have our 4center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. But that is not all. The deals are not done. And Joseph has one for all of you here now.
That's right. These deals keep getting better all the time, to misquote Lando Calrissian. We've got one from Inside Editions. They publish a bunch of great books, including a bunch of great Star Wars books. And Inside Editions is offering 35% off across their website with a special 4Center code. To get your discount, you can enter the code FC35 or visit the website with this link, insideeditions.com/discount/FC35. This week, we are continuing to recommend the great book, Star Wars Galactic Baking. It is coming out on May 4th, which is coming very soon, Ken.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, my gosh.
It's almost time for everybody to get their galactic baking on.
Get your galactic baking on, my friends, and get an air fryer. Make it even easier, though. I did have my first air fryer mess up this week. Check all that out with FC35 and Tales of Truth. So last week, while you were doing the offer, we read these things. We have these ads for the podcast. But last week, while Joseph was talking, I was like, wait a minute. What is across their website? And so I quietly brought up their website, what Joseph was reading the copy, and realized, holy moly, there's a ton of Game of Thrones stuff, which I kind of knew, but I kind of forgot. So I actually used the Force Center code to get myself a Game of Thrones book. Is that morally wrong? I don't know. I don't know.
I think so. I think, Ken, someday we just have to do an episode of Force Center about Game of Thrones. I think that's what it's coming down to.
That, Lord of the Rings, there's, just swords and fables. Anyway, so thank you. I really do love the Inside Edition book, so take advantage of that offer. I guess I could count that as a life adventure. We'll say it's part of it. But, Joseph, how about you? Star Wars life adventures, what's going on?
I'm happy to share my life adventures, but I'm very interested to hear about what happened with your air fryer. It sounds like that could have been a minor incident, or perhaps your kitchen was on fire, and I'm very intrigued about which one.
I'll say this. Not all tortillas air fry up nice and easy.
Still the ambiguity. I think your kitchen was on fire. And you're just not telling us. You're withholding the fire.
I just don't like squishy tortillas. It's just a gummy. There's these Hawaiian bread, like Hawaiian roll tortillas you can get now.
Really?
They're my favorite thing. But I can only get them in street taco sizes. So I was making little quesadillas with some vegan cheese and stuff. And the air fryer melted those. Melted the cheese just wonderfully. But I think the cheese plus a little bit extra lime juice I put on the concoction there. I pulled out the air fryer, which has been, I have not made a mistake. I'm like, literally, you could dump a car tire in here and this air fryer will make it just restaurant quality car tire. And I came out and I was like, oh no. And I couldn't, it was just a gooey mess. But you know what? I still ate it.
Okay. Fair enough. A gooey mess is not all that bad. For myself, for my life adventures, Star Wars adventures, overall ups and downs in life continue, but it was a really good weekend. Both my wife and I were able to really take Saturday just all the way off, which I usually try to take Saturday off. We usually take Saturday off from actual work, but then there is that question of, but can you get your mind to not go to your computer? My body doesn't go to the computer, but will my mind?
Right.
And my mind did not go to the computer on Saturday. It was an independent bookstore day, and Sarah and I are lucky to have a bookstore near us. So we went, we took a nice little walk, and then we're like, we are just going here, not because we're looking for anything, but because it's the independent bookstore that we can walk to. And we'll just see if we find anything that we want or we like. And I had that great experience that I haven't had in a long time where we were just in the bookstore, just truly browsing for so long that when we got home, I said to Sarah, like, I haven't looked at my phone. I don't know what time it is. And that's so great.
Nice.
Because I normally am very mindful of time. Like when I was running late for a podcast recording this morning, Ken, my apologies.
It wasn't you. It wasn't you.
Is my air fryer was acting up. Anyway, the Star Wars part of this adventure of having some great browsing in a bookstore was I picked up a paperback of the Episode 1 novelization. I posted about it. People said a lot of great things, which is wonderful. I have read it. I read it back in the day in 1999, and I'm running into this thing now where I have my my storage in Minneapolis, where many of my belongings live from when I moved out here to Los Angeles, and I really need to move that storage from Minneapolis to L.A. because I keep rebuying things I already own because I want to experience them. But it was just there was something about it that was just, we've been talking about the prequels a lot. I just recorded another podcast about Phantom Menace. It'll be coming out on May 4th. It's just such an interesting time now that the prequels are getting to be this. They were the exciting new thing, and now they're this a dusty find in an independent bookstore. And there's just something about grabbing that beat up old paperback and revisiting it that I couldn't resist. So I just did a little bit of paging through it and reading this and reading that and refreshing my memory on how it starts. And I'm excited to find some quality time to reread it.
Well, there's the rub, but exactly. I did get a chance to do that last year. Pulled out my copy, and I gotta tell you, I really love it. I think it's a great story, great novel. I think the extra stuff that's in there, whether or not I want to see all of it in the movie or where all of it works, it's all really great in the book. And if you're listening out there and you're a fan of any age, any generation, haven't taken in that book, man, that's a Four Center recommends right there.
Yeah, and it's just got that big Maul face on it, and I hadn't quite realized that the eyes glow a little bit. Yeah. I had the nice Saturday, and then I turned off all the lights, and I was like, what the hell? Oh, it's Maul's eyes. Glowing slightly in the moonlight. It was very beautiful. I highly recommend it. Yeah. Anyway, that's my life adventure, Star Wars adventure. Besides making a slightly gooey cheese tortilla, what else happened with you?
Yeah, I know, my life's horrible, right? The air fryer I got as a gift didn't do my tortillas right. I'm even having kind of a sleepy morning recording. I got to wake my, I've had coffee. I'm like, I had such kind of a simple, got a lot of work done, a lot of things going on, but like just a simple, nice kind of calm weekend, which gets your mind into that kind of frame of mind. And that's great, right? You want that. But then here it is Monday, and I'm like, I got a meeting, I got a schedule, we got to record, and I'm like over here like just having a good time. So it was kind of a quiet weekend. I did solve the mystery. I talked on the show last time. I got some mystery gifts for my birthday that were those three volumes of the Star Wars Tops trading card.
Oh yeah,
and the gift receipt that had come with it did not. I just didn't know, and I put it out there to the universe, and well, the universe answered. It's actually a Patreon supporter and kind of a friend of mine now named Old Handsaw, Sean, greatest handle in the world, Old Handsaw. And he had sent them to me. And he says, I listened to Four Center. I'm so glad those got to you. I didn't know. And I said, I'm so glad your name finally emerged. So I wanted to publicly thank him for those. They're still great. I still just been thumbing through them and just reliving, opening the packs and seeing how wrong the New Hope cards were in terms of color correction, and the Empire ones too. Leia's in a pink Hoth outfit, pink, and then the famous one. And I know you've mentioned a lot of just of Luke like holding his lightsaber by the blade.
Oh yeah, the Empire Strikes Back one. That was like a primary image, right? That was on. It was on folders and Trapper Keepers. It was everywhere.
So just there he is. Ow, ow. So I love all that. So it's been fun to relive that. Other than that, yeah, keeping it simple, man. Been watching Attack of the Clones, having a lot of fun watching that as we get ready to take a closer look at Dexter's Diner on this coming week's scene-by-scene deep dive episode on Thursday. And just little things you see in the back. And there was one point where, you know, obviously they shoot a lot on blue screen, green screen and the prequels. There's one shot I was watching on one of my, the bigger TV I have. And I just was like, wow, I think it's the Outlander Club or right outside. I was like, Anakin and Obi-Wan, they're not even there. They're just in an empty stage. And I never thought that. I mean, I know how they made those movies, but it stood out more than it ever has before that they're just like, yeah, they're walking in front of the screen. And it just, but instead of making, you know, 20 years ago, it would have been like, bah, now I'm just like, that's the best.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. I'm glad that you got to spend some quality time with Attack of the Clones. And, you know, in other life adventures, we didn't talk about it last week because you were keeping it under your hat here on Four Center. But you did have a major life event that we haven't mentioned on Four Center.
You're so right, sir. We lied a little bit last week because I had not announced it publicly. Grace and I, my partner now of, 4 years? Time flies when you're having fun, of course. We got engaged. So,
yay.
Yeah, we put that together in honor of my birthday. You know, had a little surprise, proposal for her. Had a try to keep it as small as I could, safe social distance as much as we could, even though most everyone there was vaccinated. Joseph and Sarah attended, and it was a big surprise that it pulled off. Even though we've been talking about it and we had the rings and all that kind of stuff, all those kind of logistics you do. I was able to pull off a little surprise in our backyard by the fire pit. So number one, thank you to you and Sarah for attending, and a lot of fun. So yeah, we hadn't announced yet, but now I can tell the world.
Yeah, it was a wonderful event, and it was wonderful to see that Grace was truly deeply surprised.
Well, I wasn't,
that the actual engagement came that day.
And I wasn't sure. And, we knew this was kind of coming, and I invited one of her friends that I don't necessarily talk to a lot. And so when she showed up, I thought, oh, that's going to be the clue that something's going on. But Grace said, no, I didn't really figure it out, but I had trouble believing that. And it was Sarah. I went up to you, Sarah, right after, and Sarah had said a comment. She's like, no. She was surprised. I could see in her eyes. Like, I remember Sarah saying that. And I was like, okay, that's great. So after the event, Grace's sister, Dawn, and Grace's brother-in-law, Curtis, they sent video and pictures. And there's a great freeze frame where Grace looks as though 12 ghosts jumped out and screamed boo. And I went, Sarah was right. Look at the eyes. She was surprised. So it was a good time.
I love that you can basically do the freeze framing of your own engagement and see, there's the moment. There's the moment of shock in my partner's eyes.
There you go. So, yeah.
Well, congratulations officially here on Four Center.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much, sir. A lot of fun.
Yeah.
All right. With all the love and stuff out of the way and the galactic bacon, let's get to Star Wars news. We have got another Kenobi custom announcement. This was reported by Deadline, and it is that Pen 15 writer and star creator Maya Erskine has joined the cast. Shocker, the role is currently unknown. So let's dive into this. I am familiar with Pen 15, haven't watched it, but I have a lot of people who are like, oh God, it's great, it's great, it's great. So I'll start the conversation there. Joseph, your reaction to this, the news, the name, and more.
Always happy to hear Kenobi news of any kind. I myself have not watched Pen 15. I've heard great things about it. I think the concept is awesome. Yeah. So my main reaction is just I'm always happy when somebody with a writing background and a comedy background pops up in Star Wars. And it might be some personal bias from being a writer and somebody who does comedy. I think that people with those kind of backgrounds bring this different analysis. And I think sometimes, not always, because there are many amazing actors out there who have never written a word or don't do comedy. But I think because of the way both a comedian and a writer's mind naturally wants to kind of break down things and find the twists and turns and things, so you sometimes get a more surprising performance. I'm always excited, even when it's probably, I would imagine, going to be a smaller role. That also means that sometimes you get some more surprising choices because of the kind of background that the person has. So that was my main reaction of, a writer and a comedian that's on a great show. Cool. Yeah. Awesome. More perspectives.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love what you're saying about comedy. I mean, that's often what happens. And there's always that general surprise by the world. Like, wow, Robin Williams, really? He got serious. It was great. Jim Carrey did a great. It's just you see it over and over again. And I think a lot of what you're saying is true. And so for her to maybe apply to some of that to Star Wars is pretty exciting. And then we are getting a lot of cool names kind of in this Kenobi series. And I don't mean that just on the surface, like it's a hip casting, but we're getting a lot of very just popular contemporary talent who are creative all behind the cameras and you know, directors, writers, everything. And I just kind of love that. I love Star Wars being here in the now. And I love when unknowns are cast and you know, that's going to happen. And it's not always about the fancy names and everything, but I just really, this Kenobi series is going to have some of its buzz and then bring in possibly people from different kind of fan bases, which is to me still important to Star Wars, still important to do that, especially when it is Kenobi and it is Ewan McGregor and it is an older character. And some people might be like, not again, you and I aren't. And so populating the cast and the galaxy with some of these, some names in the news or some names who are out there in the streaming world and the movie world, getting people's attention. I really love that. I think that's just a smart move. So that kind of has me excited even more than the role, what she might be playing and whatnot, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's a great contrast evolution to Jon Favreau's really interesting approach to The Mandalorian of like, I'm going to kind of stunt cast this with people who are titans of the world that they are coming from. Right. And a lot of the people in who've been announced for Kenobi are certainly like, they are well known, but they are still up and coming, right? They have like one or two massive credits to their name, so everybody knows them from that one or two thing. But I don't think anybody would call Werner Herzog or Bill Burr a new fresh face, an up and comer, right?
Right.
So Mandalorian really had that, let's bring in people who are kind of legends in their own realm and bring them into Star Wars. And I really like that this is the Kenobi casting so far is like, these are not unknowns, but they are still people younger in their careers.
Yeah, no, that you're totally right. Even Camille Nanjiani, like he's just about to really blow up, and physically seems to be blowing up too by doing those pushups. Where it's like we know him, we might know him from the comedy world. You know him from doing things with him. I know him from just show me any Portlandia scene. I'll be like, ah, there he is. He's so great in those. But I think the world's about to see, him even more now. And so I love that kind of stuff. And I love that Star Wars can help do that in smaller, big roles, which is one of the things you mentioned. I want to talk about it. I mean, this is a large cast right now. Mm-hmm. And similar to Mando, when we'd get an announcement and we do speculate on what the characters might be that the Werner Herzog's play and Michael Biehn's play and all those kind of names we know. There's another up and comer, Michael Biehn. This large cast, the reality of this is that it's a large cast in small roles. This is probably what we're looking at. And I think you're going to be, you probably have a positive view on that there, but I personally just get some super talent to fill up one great scene, one great episode. They can come back. They can be part of it. This is a limited series, but I think that's really powerful and smart to just, and I'm expecting that large cast, small roles.
Yeah, large cast, small roles. I really think that. I think people should really prepare themselves for it. There might be some amazing characters introduced and portrayed by some amazing actors, but I think this is not going to be an ensemble show. I think this is going to be about Obi-Wan Kenobi, and I think everyone he meets or encounters is going to be fleshed out and interesting, and you might want more stories with them, but they're going to narratively, functionally be there probably to serve Kenobi's story. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good thing just have that expectation as you sit down to watch Kenobi.
Yeah, look, if this series does end up being, Kenobi and Indira Varma's character going out and about in the galaxy, certainly, like, okay, great, I'm not going to be disappointed. But yeah, I think the reality is, as you said, it all there to kind of flow into the adventure of Kenobi and building towards this rematch of the century, as a lot of people keep describing the series. So I love all these names, and I can't wait to see the little moments that they help make big.
Yeah. And I think there's also this excitement for me too about like the size of this cast and thinking about how they could serve Kenobi's story. I mean, there's the practical, functional, some of them might be Imperials, some of them might be freighter captains, who knows, a random citizen in need. But just this idea, Kenobi hasn't really interacted with the galaxy at large much in 10 years. How are all these different characters going to sort of press on his question of where he should be? You know, is he right to stay on Tatooine? Or is he feeling like he should have been out in the galaxy making a difference? And how are these different people going to poke him on that issue?
Right. Yep. Episode one, poking Kenobi. You're good there. So our excitement for this series is immeasurable. I just can't wait. I can't, we don't discuss the scoops here. We don't discuss a lot of the leaks, but I'll tell you, I clicked on some of the Andor stuff lately, and I don't think anything ruined what I'll get from that show. But it gets me excited. We just maybe don't love covering them as much over here. But I tell you what, Joseph, the moment, and I know there was some Kenobi set stuff, but the moment like things start to become, it's going to be very hard for me not to click because I'm so excited for the series.
I am going to use every bit of Obi-Wan Kenobi learned patience that I have, and I'm not clicking on anything spoilery. I want this show to tell me its story.
I'm going to try. I'm going to try so hard. I'm going to try so hard. But the moment they're like, Indira Varma and her costume, I'm going to be like, okay, I got to see. I got to see what she's playing. So we'll see. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Well, I think any revelation about who or what the characters are playing is even more spoilery, right? Because we truly don't know. Like, what if it came out that, who Maya Erskine is playing is a member of the Church of the Force hunting for Jedi? Like,
right.
as soon as you know a detail like who these characters are, unless there's something really expected, like freighter captain, imperial, rebel leader, like even rebel leader starts to tell you some of the story. Mm-hmm. So this one, I think, is even more, since we don't know much except for it's going to be a rematch. Yep. It really, those details really start revealing the show. Yep.
100%. And you know, I don't get caught up on the spoilers. I just want to experience these stories as they unfold. And I think a lot of us do. And it's nothing against anyone who loves the scoops or don't care. I know some people are like, I don't care about the spoilers. Like, you know, it's fine. It's each your own. But yeah, it's going to be hard. Oh, it's going to be hard. next story. And I noticed in my notes, I kept the link from last week. So if you still want to talk about Stellan Skarsgård, Joseph, go right ahead. But we got Clone Wars figures are getting the Lucasfilm 50th anniversary treatment. We've got 6-inch Black Series releases coming our way with the old kind of packaging from that era. ARC Trooper Echo and not Bad Batch Echo, ARC Trooper Echo. Clone Pilot Hawk with his great little helmet design there. General Obi-Wan Kenobi and General Anakin Skywalker. So we've been enjoying a lot of the figures that are coming out in the 50th anniversary line. Thoughts on these four figures? And then I want to get some specifics about those Jedi.
Well, my first thought was when I clicked on this link from last week, I thought there was going to be a Stellan Skarsgård Black Series action figure of just the actor.
Just him.
I admit I was a little disappointed. No, these are great. I really love this continuing. Feels like every week or two there are more Lucasfilm action figures celebrating the 50th anniversary, really focusing on kind of a different era of Star Wars. I don't collect the Black Series in general, but I might need to get this Obi-Wan Kenobi because of his beautiful unkempt hair. That was my main emotional reaction of like, oh, but he's got different hair. Damn it.
Yeah. 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 It's a really good sculpt. I mean, the sculpts nowadays are just amazing. Obviously, we're a long way from 77 Kenner, but even then those are amazing. So yeah, I'm excited about these. The fun thing, you know, again, I even though I don't maybe collect as much because of space reasons now more than anything, I was never an army builder, you know, never had 50 stormtroopers or anything. What's great about the clones is you could build your army with the clones, but they're so just unique in their own way now, just part of the victory of the Clone Wars series, right? Just let's take a look at these clones. They're all the same and make them just jump off the screen. And these figures really capture that for me where I'm looking at them and going, yep, that's Echo, that's Hawk, that's different. And they feel different to me. I like that about that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that there has been, for me, there's a little bit of the practical reality of, you know, it's easier to produce the clones because sometimes a paint job can make them unique. But all of that sort of realism or cynicism went away when I looked at Echo, because I really like Echo. So I was very tempted by Echo.
Echo. All right. So you mentioned the unkempt hair of the ruggish hairstyle of Kenobi, but Kenobi and Skywalker in armor. I really wanted to focus. We've been watching the Clone Wars for the Clone Wars Report, and them in armor it's been around for years now, years and years and years. So it seems normal, but I still kind of get excited when I see it. I still kind of, and it's the kid in me that watched an old man in a desert talk about the Clone Wars with Luke, and to imagine what that meant. You and I just did the breakdown of the 2D. Classic series, and there was a little bit different take on Kenobi, like literally in clone armor,
with like the full armor, helmet, and everything. Yeah. Yep,
love it. So I there's something about this, seeing these figures. It wasn't just Kenobi's hair; it was just really highlighting the armor. What's your connection and relationship to these Jedi and others in that armor?
I think it's just such a cool aesthetic all by itself of the half Jedi garb and the half armor, but then. Just in terms of visually telling the story, it's such a great visualization of the compromising of the Jedi and the Republic. Yeah. To see them, to see these characters who've declared, you know, Qui-Gon and Phantom Menace, like, I can't fight a war for you, you know, to see them half in armor. And that's just kind of by itself. If you watch Star Wars in not release order, but chronological order, you know, you would get that of like, oh, look, Palpatine's corrupting them. He's already got them half in armor, you know. Right, it's right. Great, you know, the organic and the flowing and the humble versus the, you know, mechanized and armored and violent. Just such a great image. But then for people of our generation, Ken, who grew up with the original trilogy and grew up with Kenobi being like, yep, the Clone Wars, and Anakin was a cunning warrior, and stormtroopers are so violent and evil. And then to go back and go, that's Obi-Wan Kenobi dressed half like a clone trooper. Yeah, but come on.
Yeah.
The eventual armor of a stormtrooper. You know, and I love thinking about that as part of, you know, Kenobi's psyche when he's older, when he's on Tatooine, and when he does encounter stormtroopers, and they are this now this merciless face of this horrific tyranny. And he's going, I used to dress like that partially too.
Yeah.
And how much that must hurt when he sees stormtroopers and know that he wore that armor too.
Yeah. Just the those long pauses from Alec Guinness are just him drifting off into the armor.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of stuff I love about it, just from the simple, damn, that looks cool, to what it means to the story, to what it means to Kenobi in particular. In Anakin, of course, it's a march towards being encased in that armor always, right?
Right, yeah, no, it's a little different feel with Anakin, and his color scheme, his aesthetic in the Clone Wars is a little different than the other Jedi, you know? And works really well for me. But yeah, the Kenobi one, yeah, there's the cool factor, there is the wow, and then there was the history of it. And we talk with that Hot Toys figure that I'm fortunate enough to have, but you see it around there with the old man, almost not as old man in the desert, walking around with the armor. It's just kind of what it represents, everything you're describing, what it, the parts of it that he might hold on to as no, we try to do good, like, the internal debate. I wonder if something like that will factor into the Kenobi series to bring it back to that. I just would love to see that armor somewhere in the hut, or as he's moving into the hut. I don't know. Or in his other apartment he got before that hut. I don't know.
I am pretty solidly on team flashback that I think there is very good possibilities of seeing both Ewan and Hayden back in their Clone Wars days. And that would be a hell of a thing to see Ewan McGregor in the Clone Wars outfit with some amount of armor.
Yeah, it would. So there you go. See, it all ties back to Kenobi. with the 50th anniversary Lucasfilm kind of rolling on and more figures kind of being announced and emerging, we kind of always ask this question, but I wonder, what is your current updated Clone Wars figure wish list? What else would you like?
Oh, yeah. Well, I really want more 3¾ in general. I know that it's that the Black Series is where it's at, but we do have the Vintage Series. And I do see, I know that we covered this, but it's hard to keep track of them all because figures get announced and then you get excited. And then you're like, and now are they ever going to be in a store, or where do I need to sign up to race who to click on the thing? This is definitely some middle-aged person yelling at a cloud business there. But yeah. I was reminded when I looked up that Ahsoka and Maul from season 7 of Clone Wars are both coming out 3¾ vintage, and those were high on my list. So I think, Ken, the number one Clone Wars figure that I need, and I don't care if it's Black Series or 3¾ vintage or retro, I need a Terrace Anube action figure. Damn it. Come on.
Well, look, I'm with you on that. I think in any 3¾, 6-inch, if you're going to kind of focus on some Clone Wars stuff, I would love to see some more Padme, and not to just boil her down to her outfits, but that's also part of the fun of collecting figures. We always talk about the many looks of Leia growing up, and that's kind of how you identified Leia in certain parts of the movie. Hoth Leia, Bespin Leia. There's so many different Padme looks in the Clone Wars series that you could just, I think you could release a whole other series or line about that. So
excellent choice. I really want a 2-pack of Padme and Satine. Mm-hmm. From some of those episodes where Padme is on Mandalore, because Padme's got that great outfit with the little bat clip on her dress, and it's a great outfit. And she's teamed up with Satine, who we need some action figures of as well.
That's true. And then the final one, I can't wait till we get to those episodes and I review them again with kind of a new eye on Clone Wars. I think, because I'm staring right now across my studio at the 2-scale Black Series. It's technically the 6-inch Black Series line, but it's 2-scale of Grogu, which is tiny, tiny, tiny. So that just means we need a Meeber Gascon. It would be the tiniest package in the world.
Not a big pack with all of the droids, just Meeber Gascon.
I mean, I guess you could put the droids, because this Grogu comes, interesting enough, comes with a little frog.
So the frog is minuscule. So to scale, it, that would be the release. That would be Meeber Gascon.
Yeah, Meeber Gascon would be what, like maybe the size of the ball that that Grogu comes with as well. The absolute choking hazard that Grogu comes with.
Yeah. So I think there you go. I think you just I want that. It'd just be the tiniest little Black Series package in the world.
That would be absolutely beautiful. And I know that we're talking Clone Wars figures, Ken, but I will just do a quick shout out of, boy, do I really want some more Rise of Skywalker action figures. There's next to nothing, particularly with 3 3/4, when we got a lot of great stuff just sitting there. We got Kylo with his cracked helmet. We got all sorts of different looks for Palpatine. We got Leia in training. We got a lot of figures that would be, I think, popular, and I really hope that they do get to them.
I have faith that they will. The industry changed more than anything, less to do with the movies, as we know here, and a lot of people listening know. But I we'll get there. We'll get there.
That was the talk I needed. Thanks, Ken.
Stay alive. We will find you figures. Final story of the day. We have a excerpt from the upcoming High Republic novel, The Rising Storm. This, of course, is written by Kevin Scott. It's on the way June 29th, 2021. We took a little peek at it. We thought it was good. We want to talk about it. So thoughts on this little excerpt here, and then we'll dive into specifically the character of Ty Yorick, Joseph.
Yeah, I thought the excerpt was great. I've really been looking forward to this book, not only because I'm looking forward to the next kind of big chapter in the High Republic. I've enjoyed all of the books, but it feels like these adult books, it's always a weird phrase, but the adult books seem to be where they're going to kind of tell the big events and move the big picture story forward, and let then all the other great books tell stories around those events. So I'm looking forward to that. And I think Kevin Scott is a great Star Wars writer, and I'm really excited to read this full novel, because recently he's been doing in Star Wars, you know, short stories, comic books, Dooku Jedi Lost audio drama, all sorts of great stuff. But I'm really wanting to spend the time with just a full novel from him. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, I'm very excited. And great piece there. Flowed really nicely. Some great lines. One line there when Ty Yorick, this character we're going to talk about, is being asked to help these villagers, and said the monster's got our kids, and well, how many? And then the villager says, does that matter? And I just, that's good. Just really a real good little writing sample of this book here. So can't wait for Kevin Scott to get his hands on this story, or I mean, he already has, obviously. Can't wait to read it. So I'm with you on that there. But let's focus on Ty Yorick, who is a former Padawan, but not Jedi, question mark. It's just easy to say former Jedi, but if the note is she's a former Padawan turned monster hunter. So that way you can kind of look at the story, look at the core of the Jedi, but she's not actually a Jedi there. And I wanted to talk about that and what you thought about this big theme through this little piece we read of helping those that ask for it.
Yeah, I thought that there's some things in this High Republic whole initiative so far that have really been on the list of what I would describe and you would describe as those conversations you have on playgrounds or in bars with other Star Wars friends about, could there ever be a Jedi who does like this? And they're hitting so many of those out of the park. Ty Yorick is one of those, just to me, back to like, what if there was like a Jedi like as powerful as Luke Skywalker, but they were kind of a loner rogue like Han Solo? Ty Yorick in this excerpt is just so beautifully these great Star Wars templates of the noble, powerful Jedi who is also wants to be the loner rogue out for themselves. And I really like that in this excerpt you pulled out this great theme, and I think this great idea about helping others. But just in this one short excerpt, I felt like this character was wrestling with a bunch of great ideas of what parts of the Jedi code does she want to adapt and keep?
Right.
Because you have that, I'm setting out to help others, but only if they can pay me. Okay, but sometimes I will just help people because they ask and it's right. Mm-hmm. And that great little excerpt about, I'm kind of just trying to take my own choices and my own responsibility for my actions off the hook by rolling these space dice and just following the will of the Force. So should I be making a choice, or should I be following the will of the Force, or am I lying to myself about that? And then even in her description of her droids, talking about how they're just tools, you know, they're nothing to be attached to. So like in this short excerpt, she's wrestling with selfless versus selfish, choice versus blindly following destiny, and, you know, attachment versus not attachment. It's so clear that this character is caught up in which Jedi teachings are actually valuable to me or not.
I love that you highlighted the droid thing and not naming her ship, because we already saw in Light of the Jedi of it's Bel Zedivar who's going to be in this story. It kind of was like secretly named their ship because the Jedi aren't supposed to do that. And I would, you know, again, this is why I ain't writing these stories, kids. I would have been like, oh, she's no longer a Jedi. I bet she's named every droid and ship and she wants attachments. And to have that still present, to have that kind of, it's not there. It's not my nature, whether or not it's directly related to what she was taught or just how she feels. A wonderful thing to explore. Immediately just I'm pulled in by this character. And it's also just fun. A monster hunter in Star Wars with maybe a lightsaber hidden in her pack. Like that's pretty whiz bang cool in itself. But to analyze the Jedi and the Jedi Order by not being a Jedi, having a character that's not a Jedi, that's pretty intriguing to me.
Yeah, I think that's part of what the High Republic has been doing so well. And this one, for me, is almost turning up to 11, is, fulfilling the promise of the premise of Star Wars in terms of the just absolutely cool pulp adventure. There are wizards who can do cool things with their minds and their lightsabers, but also really diving deep into, let's explore all these themes of Star Wars from these characters who have really different perspective and a really different time.
Yeah. And just the way it, when the villager says, asks for the help, and she just kind of says, yep, there it is. They asked. I got to do it. Powerful, very effective, and can't wait to see more. So any final thoughts on this?
No, I'm just very excited for this. Also, the comic that's coming out is going to focus on Ty York, I believe the Monster of Temple Peak. I'm very excited for that as well.
Yeah, I got to tell you, folks, I got to catch up on my High Republic comic books. I haven't got out to my shop in over a year now, but they mail me the books, but I forgot.
So you know, I'm getting them on the old Comixology app, but and they're really enjoying them, but I am letting a few pile up so I can get more story at a time.
Even though I always say I should just wait for the trade paperback. I love collecting the individual issues. So
yeah,
I'm with you too. All right, there you go. There's a look at Ty York. The Rising Storm again is out June 29th, 2021. We got new figures and another cast member of Kenobi. That's a full news week. We are just about going to take a break here and come back with your questions. But before we do, we got a Force Center book we think you should try out on us. Joseph, what do we got?
Since there's a lot of Kenobi in the news, we are recommending Master and Apprentice by Claudia Gray. Get to spend some quality time with Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan and Rael Avaros, the sloppy Jedi who does some adult things in this adult novel.
Oh, Rael Avaros. So download your free audiobook today. Go to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. All right, we're going to take a quick break, reset, and come back with your questions here on Force Center.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side?
helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, 4Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, 4Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com, that's JennyLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138. Welcome back to 4Center, the 318th main show in our catalog of fun. That's right. And part of the reason it's so fun is on these News and Cues episodes, we get questions from you, the audience. Joseph gathers them up from many sources like Twitter, Patreon. Joseph, what do we have today?
We got 4 great questions. We're going to go to Twitter first. On Twitter, Michael Gibbons says, "Hi, everyone. I've wondered about this for years. Since size matters not when it comes to the Force, would you be interested in a story where a character learns to control very small objects instead? I think a Sith's journey to split an atom would be terrifying." I agree with the terror. Ken, what do you think of this idea about, we definitely have seen Jedi and Sith in particular manipulate large objects, manipulate political events. So we've seen Jedi manipulate people's minds with Jedi mind tricks. But what do you think about this idea of Force users manipulating the physical world on a literally sort of a molecular level?
I mean, obviously my mind goes to midichlorians and Plagueis and any of those kind of stories, but also you could go beyond that kind of mythical form life type of conversation, just the science of it all, the dangerous science of it all, splitting an atom and trying to do that and trying to find another way to take over the galaxy from the inside, literally. Like I could see some ancient Sith type stuff or a dark Sith, scientist or something like that. You could go that way. And I think it could work. And I think it could be very effective. It's the terror on the inside in a way.
Yeah, I really love this idea. And it was one of those ideas that I was really happy to see pop up in the High Republic, because it had been mm-hmm. something that I had been just sort of daydreaming about. There's that moment in Light of the Jedi. I don't want to spoil it for people who have read it, but the some Jedi do manipulate the environment to make some weather happen.
Right.
And that idea of like the Force is all around us. You know, could you just do something like if a Jedi was skilled in this particular manipulation, right, of just make oxygen disappear around someone who's causing a problem so they just pass out, you know, or, you know, make it something in the atmosphere combustible that is not supposed to be by agitating two elements together, you know?
Oh, that's a, yeah. I mean, you're almost getting in the air of superheroes. So this Jedi would have to have some cool nickname, you know, the lightning storm Jedi or something like that. But yeah. Yeah.
Atom rubber. Yeah. Adam. No.
Adam Rutter. But no, Michael, this is a great idea. Great question. And I think you're bringing up High Republic. I'm naturally going to that kind of time frame. It could be any point on the Star Wars timeline, but there's just something about that. I don't know, just kind of the quote earlier times in Star Wars. It's someone trying to figure it out. Well, wait, if we can move rocks, why can't we move this? And that could be kind of fun.
Yeah, I think it's just the High Republic's doing a great job of this, and I think it could happen other places of just learning that Jedi really have different skills, different approaches, different things that they're mm-hmm. trying to perfect, and I think this could be one of them. To Michael's specific thought about the Sith splitting the atom, that would be a fun story to see of Sith really kind of weaponizing an environment almost of,
right.
Like, is that something that a bunch of Sith, if there are more than two, could, you know, just rot a place on purpose, right? We have things like the dark side cave tree on Dagobah. That's this vergence. Could they turn a whole planet into a vergence? And would that be, you know, a way to sort of weaponize an environment and, you know, make a whole planet something that is just rotting and reeking of violence and death?
Just a fun summer vacation.
Yeah, you know, a little vacation point. Come see Sith planet.
Good stuff.
And there is that one quote from Lucas, I believe, where he said a couple different things about what his ideas for the sequel trilogy were. But one of them he mentioned, like, it would have been about the midichlorians. So maybe it would have been all this.
You're right. Yeah. Michael, are you really George?
It's just George Lucas wearing a Michael Gibbons mask and posting on Twitter. Great question, Michael. We're going to go on to our next question from Rob Mack. Rob says, hey, Joseph and Ken, do you think we'll ever get Star Wars detours? I always thought the little clips that are out there were funny enough, and wonder if we'll ever get more silly Star Wars content. Thanks, guys, for all the great work. Star Wars Detours, if you're not aware of it, if you haven't checked it out, it's something that Lucasfilm was working on, I think, very close to when Lucas sold it, and then Disney decided to shelve it, and you can just Google it, and you can find some trailers and some clips on YouTube, which I rewatched one of the trailer clips before we did our recording here today. What are you thinking about this, Ken? There were some rumors about this earlier in April, but they were just like very much rumors that Star Wars Detours was going to be on Disney Plus. Do you want that? What are your thoughts?
I think now more than ever it's possible, because with Disney Plus and what we just saw with the Vintage tab, so you could put that there, and Detours has kind of built up this cult following for something that doesn't fully exist in a way. It's just weird. So I right before the pandemic lockdown began, I hosted a virtual Comic-Con panel with Kevin Shinnick, who is a writer of the book The Force Collector, but also wrote on Robot Chicken and everything, and worked on Detours. He didn't want to talk about it. He was a very nice guy, by the way. He did not want to talk about it on air. I didn't ask him. We talked about the spirit of writing comedy about Star Wars, which we all love, which is something I've been talking about with Jamie Stangroom on Spotlight Star Wars. I reviewed Hardware Wars this past week on Star Wars Ranked. So I love that kind of stuff, and I love living it. Even off air, he couldn't and didn't really talk about it. There's just something so much around it. And I wasn't prying. I think it was great. I don't know if there's something, it's locked away, if there's some kind of two, three, four companies can't talk about. I don't know. So that that's a real world answer of, man, even if I want to see it, I don't know if we will, Rob. But I think as a fan, I am ready to have even more fun. I love the holiday special that they just put out with the Lego stuff. And I love that. I don't know if there's just, you know, Disney looks at it and just goes, I don't know. We can't. There's a lot of things in there we wouldn't put in. I don't know. And I'm not saying that the jokes are bad. I don't know. I don't know, sir. I don't know. I'd like to see it. I think a lot of people would.
Yeah. I think the, in terms of the rumors, I think, yeah, this vintage banner that they've added to Disney Plus makes it a little bit more likely to me. I think there is also that question of just how much does Disney Plus feel like they need to feed the content beast. You know, content is everything right now with the streaming service that you want to be able to say, hey, we got all this stuff. Is it something that they maybe wouldn't make a big pitch to air, you know, if we hadn't ended up with the streaming services and it was still, you know, channels. But they will put it on Disney Plus, maybe. You know, I've watched the trailer a couple times. I just watched it again. There's something so fascinating about it because the comedy is, even scene to scene, beat to beat, is such a mixed approach to the comedy. Some of it is feels very much to me like the Vader Palpatine dynamic in Star Wars Detours. The clips that I've seen is very similar to their Star Wars Lego interactions, and it is very funny. It is they're you know, the Emperor is just very, very controlling, but also just kind of like this little a-hole who's you know, managing a Radio Shack in 1982 and it's controlling about it, and Vader's like this, you know, dark, brooding middle manager, and the vibe is really funny, but it is very similar to what is currently out there with Star Wars Lego. But then there's like some great meta jokes about some stormtroopers falling on a matte painting that's very funny. But then some of it is also just like very old school at this point, predictable slapstick.
Yeah.
There's some dated comedy from just some cultural references. And I'm not even saying anything that's like that shouldn't be said, but just it's dated.
Right.
That one trailer goes. I can see almost any Star Wars fan sitting down and watching that trailer and going, I love that. I hate that. I love that. I hate that. I'm mixed on that. It's so all over the map that I wonder if it would just be a little bit of a lightning rod.
I could definitely see that. And again, I know what you're saying too. It's not about big discussions about that shouldn't be in there, but just like it was made years ago in a certain time, certain style of comedy, whether you like it or not. It could be one of those, we want it and you get it and you're like, maybe that wasn't finished.
Yeah. There's like that clip of Kenobi doing stand up at Jabba's palace.
Right.
And it's like, it's funny, but there are moments where Detours is doing like some Star Wars parody. They are digging up something about the character and having fun parodying it. And then there's some stuff where it feels like it's kind of jokes that are solid jokes, but they're mapped onto Star Wars characters. Like there's a scene in the clip with Leia being like I'm a cool, fashionable person and everyone should like me. Like that to me is like a funny joke to map on top of Leia, but it's not a parody of Leia. It's not taking something intrinsic to the character of Leia. So just the comedy coming from different angles, I guess now what I'm saying is I want it released because I'd be fascinated to see what people think.
Yeah. And again, I love the idea of having some fun with Star Wars, and I know you do too, and a lot of people listening too. So I want to see, and it's a bit of a time capsule, and I'd like to see it. And again, now more than ever, we could probably see it on that tab, but we'll see.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We will see. I'm very fascinated by it. Even if the Star Wars humor sometimes, certain jokes I really like and other jokes aren't for me, I still want it to exist for people and for Star Wars to have a sense of fun and a sense of humor. So I'm all for it. We'll move on to questions from our patrons on Patreon. This one comes from Simon Huffnagel. Simon says, you want a cup of Jawa juice? For longer than I'm willing to admit, I had that line wrong in my memory. When I first saw Attack of the Clones as a kid, I thought Flo asked, you want a cup of Joe with you? I knew that a cup of Joe meant coffee, so I figured she was asking Obi-Wan if he wanted coffee. I think I was a little confused as to why that phrasing was used, but hey, it's Star Wars. Weird things happen all the time, right? So I just accepted it. Fast forward years and multiple rewatches later, I was watching the movie with a friend. When the diner scene came up, my friend asked what I thought Jawa juice tasted like. What a random question, I thought. But before I could respond, it finally hit me that I had misheard the line all this time. I shared this revelation with said friend, and they rightfully didn't let me live it down for the rest of the movie. I say all this to ask, have you had a moment like that with a Star Wars film, or really any film, a moment where you misheard or misinterpreted a line and had it cemented in your brain like that? If so, what was the line, and how was it ultimately corrected? This is a great question, Ken, and a great advertisement for us discussing this scene Thursday's episode. So where do you go with this? Have you misheard things in Star Wars?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, I've let Simon down. I've had this question sitting around for 2 days now with the notes that you sent across, and I have been racking my brain because I do this all the time, but I do it so much I almost can't remember. So I'm letting you down, Simon. And if anyone's followed me along, you know, here, movie trivia, Schmodown competitions, I am notoriously bad at remembering quotes, even though I got the spirit of it. It's like, instead of saying, help if I got it and push, to me, the line is, I pushed. Is that okay? Like, I don't know what it is. The only movies, it's not a joke. The only movies I have 90% pinpoint accuracy on are Young Guns and Young Guns 2 and Tombstone. I don't know what it is about just popcorn Western, modern popcorn Western movies. I don't know why. So I dug, Simon. And recently I was one of the ones in Rise of Skywalker when the Knights of Ren walked by the stormtroopers, one of them J.D. Dillard, the director. And they say ghouls. And that was a lot of people were the controversy. I swore they said tools. I was like, no, they said tools. They're tools. What are you talking about? So I thought, well, you know what? Maybe they said cool. Like,
I forgot about this. I thought that the first viewing, I thought they said cool, and I knew that couldn't be right. Mm-hmm. But there was something a little bit, I think maybe because the theater wasn't full, there was something a little bit off of some moments of sound that I couldn't quite hear things as well as I wanted. And I did think they went, Knights of Ren walked by and Stormtrooper went cool.
Yeah. So there you go. I've let down Sam a little bit because this has happened a lot. Song lyrics, famously. I'm a radio DJ out in Pennsylvania on the weekends. How do I pull that off? Magic. I fly out there every Saturday. And there was a classic song that came up, and I always thought that it was Someday Our Love Will Be the Same, or whatever the line is from this classic rock song, and it's Sunday. And I just, in 2021, was like, I've been singing that wrong for 30 years.
Remember that great U2 song, Someday Bloody Someday?
Someday Bloody Sunday. That's the one. But I'll say this. The great debate around Han Solo saying, I'm nice men, or I'm a nice guy, in Empire Strikes Back. I'm nice men is like my favorite Star Wars line. I have some people who swear that it's definitely not the line, and there's subtitles and scripts copies and everything. And then there's people like Mark Riley who's like, no, I did Star Wars in 30 minutes, which was we took from the scripts. And the line was, I'm nice men. So I don't know. And then it's been 5 years and I don't get into that debate too much anymore, but because it got too serious too fast. So that's a line where, well, I've heard it like that and you can't knock that off out of my, I'm on that pedestal. That's where I'm going to live.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Ken, I think you pre-answered this a couple of weeks ago. You talked about the great celebrate the love versus celebrate with us.
That's true.
And you and I had both misheard that for years and years and years of celebrate with us, right?
Yes, absolutely. And who doesn't want to celebrate with you?
Yeah, I mean, I just was taking it as an invitation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now it feels a little bit more like celebrate the love in your home. But celebrate with us was like, come on to Endor.
Yeah. So
a little disappointed to know the truth. For myself, the Star Wars one, I forgot about cool. Mm-hmm. That is actually ghouls. The one that as a kid, and as a young person watching the VHS again and again of Return of the Jedi, of is it Sanctuary Moon or Sentry Moon? Now known as Sanctuary Moon. But I just like the way that Palpatine said that. So be like, yeah, I like it when he says Sentry Moon, whatever the hell he said.
Yeah.
Like, Sanctuary, mm-hmm. Which is some weird hangover from a different, an iteration of the script in which there's some different details about the Endor moon. But now I know Sanctuary Moon. I'm they not only have misheard lots of things, much like you can, less films and more songs. Definitely have some songs where I realize after, you know, a good 20 years, I've been singing along, but I just kind of sing sounds. I don't know what I've been singing. And every once in a while, I'm like, you know, I better check the lyrics and make sure I'm not singing something horrific and I don't know it. Mm-hmm. My favorite of this is I had a friend, and I'm sure this is not a rare one, who always heard I Wanna Rock and Roll All Night and Party Every Day as I Want to Rock and Roll All Night and Part of Every Day.
Just, I can need a rest in the morning.
Which I really like, because, like, yeah, you know, that's stepping back from some of the hubris of the bacchanalia of rock and roll. You can't actually party all those times. So, you know, set aside part of the day. All night, yes. But part of every day. Other parts of the day, I need to rest. I need to do my taxes. I got my kids to look out for. You know, it's reasonable.
Yeah. It also tracks for, like, Paul Stanley now. He's probably like, I'll rest around lunch.
Exactly. Great question, Simon. And we're looking forward to discussing Jawa Juice in lots of detail on this Thursday's episode. So we move on to our final question from Andrew McNabb. Andrew says, hope you are well. Please describe Star Wars in an elevator pitch that is exactly 20 words. I put exactly in capital letters to emphasize the fact that you cannot sneakily use 19 or 21 words or even a bunch of shouldn't be hyphenated, but you've hyphenated them anyway to cheat words. Bonus points if you can work in puffer and pigs. I will not be getting any bonus points. But how about you, Ken? Did you come up with a 20-word pitch for Star Wars?
I did, and I wanted to be cute. But I also wanted to get this right because Andrew, he said please, but it sometimes seems like he's at the bar with a six shooter going dance, and I don't want to get shot here like a Biff Tannen in Back to the Future 3. So I went pretty straightforward. This is a boring elevator pitch, but it is, and it's to 20 words. I mean, it to my count. Star Wars is the story of the constant fight against the evil that lies without and within all of us.
Oh, wow. You came up with a beautiful one.
Oh, you like it? Okay, good. Go picture, Georgie.
Yeah, I mean, I think if Georgia just pitched it that way, everything would have been so much more smooth. Mine is a little bit more tongue-in-cheek, but I was trying to capture a lot of what I love about Star Wars.
Yeah.
And this comes partially from an old stand-up bit, so I cheated a little. Here we go. The 20-word pitch for Star Wars. Space wizards with laser swords cut one another's limbs off in a story that ultimately advocates for empathy and peace.
That's a winner. It's also true. Everything about it.
Yeah. You know, I think for both of ours, you know, you can debate whether they're good pitches, but they're true. They are accurate. Yeah. Those things happen in Star Wars.
Yeah, the log lines, man. That was the when studying the fine art of screenwriting as a youngster, I failed log lines every time.
It is a really, really fun pursuit of trying to boil down your story in a way that sounds really dynamic, but is also really truthful and is simple and concise, but can also make people imagine all sorts of other exciting things that might happen within the context of that story. For me, quick logline thought as we wrap up here, I have so many friends who wrestle with loglines and have been a part of logline parties where everybody brings all their loglines and sees which ones actually hit. The funniest thing to me is if you look at comic books like from, you know, 50s, 60s, early 70s, where the comic books were really like one-shot adventures for the most part, and each cover was trying to make you really interested in the adventure that week. Like almost every comic book cover was like a great log line. Oh no, Jimmy Olsen's arm fell off and now everyone in North Dakota is gonna die. Like almost everyone is this weird log line pitch. So if you want some help with log lines, look at old comic book covers. That's my hint.
That's a great idea. It's a great thing. I'm thinking a bunch of G.I. Joe comic covers from the 80s and like, yep. I'll def that one too. Yeah, great.
Yes, they almost defy logic of like, how could those things be related? I have to buy this comic book. Yeah. All right. So those are our questions. A lot of great fun ones, some insightful ones and some silly ones. Andrew, Simon, Rob, and Michael, thank you all for your questions. And there are a lot more great questions coming up, Ken.
great questions coming away. And hey, if you want to find us and follow us and maybe ask us more questions, you can do so by going to Twitter and finding us at Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram, YouTube as well. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. Podcast is available on a lot of spots, including Anchor, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, and now Amazon Music and Spotify as well. I've been highlighting Spotify because I do believe in my heart the great podcast wars have begun. Apple, Spotify, a lot of new things coming to a lot of those kind of classic podcast locations. So stay tuned. Force Center, though, remains on all of them. Merch at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. You can support us on Anchor, actually, directly. There is a support option there if you'd like to, but also on patreon.com/Force Center. Always love having new Patreon supporters helping us make our dreams come true, which also includes often like the cool things like the theme songs by the great Tony Thaxton. Check out him and his work as well. So that is it for Force Center. For me, you can follow me at Ken Napsok or go to my website, kennapsok.com. You can link to a lot of things I do, including the Good People Association at thegpa.com. We've been for a while now highlighting things that mean a lot to us, things we are either connected with or maybe want you to consider to connect with. And in this last year, one of the things that emerged was a lot of hate crimes against people of Asian or Pacific Islander background. So I'm supporting StopAAPIHate.org. You can check out their website, support directly. They have information, ways to even support hate crime incidents as well. And they've been tracking those, and the numbers are very high. So check out them as at StopAAPIHate.org. Joseph.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely great for you to highlight, Ken. You can find me Twitter and Instagram at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can check out my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for all my other comedy adventures. This week on my podcast, Obsessed, my wife and I are going to be discussing The Falcon and The Winter Soldier. My wife is really delighted by the fact that they both have a "the," so she often says it as The Falcon and The Winter Soldier. We enjoyed the hell out of that limited series event on Disney Plus, and we're going to be talking about that on the podcast, Obsessed. So you can check out all that stuff on my website, josephscrimshaw.com. And the thing that I would like to advocate for this week is the service Vote Forward. This is a place where you sign up to write letters to voters, just encouraging them to vote. You don't say anything partisan. You just encourage people to use the power that they have. And Vote Forward has been going for a couple of years now, and they've been doing some great research in tracking how much of a difference it makes to reach out personally and just say, hey, please, we have this power. Let's use it. You have a voice and it should be heard. And they've been concentrating over the last couple of years on some of the big elections, but they're doing a great job right now of having campaigns pretty much all the time, because there are always votes going on. If it's a special election or local city stuff or any number of different reasons, you know, elections don't come every 2 or 4 years. It's always happening. We can always make a difference, and a Vote Forward is a great way, I think, to do that. So if you're interested, you can check out their website. It is votefwd.com.
The power to fight against evil that lies within and without us all is in our hands, is what Joseph is trying to say. Support that as well. Great stuff. And I would love to talk to Sarah about "the" being important in the naming of bands, and how I really, it's the Beatles, and my other favorite band is Eels. No "the." So I really respect your take on that as well. So that is it for this week. For Joseph, for Sarah Scrimshaw, for their podcast Obsessed, and the Puffer Pigs we did not name, we'll see you next time here on Force Center.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.